Hey guys, Jacob here, and welcome to the new episode of Automated Seller Podcast. We have a new special guest, Fatos Fatin, a founder of Maxamate, which is a listing optimization and creative agency for Amazon. Hi, Fatos. How are you?
Hi, Jacob. I'm very well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Sure. I'm actually really interested in getting to know your background, your story, and also how did you end up to founding the Maxamate. So maybe we'll start basically with that. If you could share with us some of your story, how did you get into the Amazon and e-commerce, and later on, obviously, how did you end up building the Maxamate?
Okay, so my history is a little bit colourful. It's not a straight line. So I studied economics. I went to Cambridge and did economics and then worked in finance for a bit. But I was never designed to have an office job. So I started my own business aged 22, my first business. And that was a lingerie and swimwear brand, which I grew over the years. And then I came into the Amazon space in 2019, mm-hmm. and started out, first of all, as a private label seller in the US market. And Maxamate was...
What did you sell, actually?
Home decor products. Mm-hmm. So I wanted a complete change from what I did before. I definitely didn't want to be selling anything in the apparel category, because I'm all too aware of all the complications that come with that product mm-hmm. set. And yeah, that was how I got into the Amazon space and e-commerce. And Maxamate was a sort of natural extension of that, which, you know, a lot of things in life happen as coincidences. They're not really premeditated all the time. So I was always doing my own listing building. And people would say, oh, you know, how do you do that? How come your listings look so great and you're converting? So I just sort of started helping a few friends mm-hmm. here and there. And then I thought, well, actually, I think I'd like to do this full time. And then that's basically how it was born.
That's actually a super, super nice story, right? But are you still selling, or you do
yes.
fully? Okay, so you do both. So that's actually also great, because I think that agencies who are like have the approach being seller first, they have rather bigger success in this very competitive world right now. I actually managed to meet a lot of agencies that comes from background without like first selling on Amazon, and those are not the best agencies actually when it comes to like managing the Amazon accounts. So I think that's actually great, and I know that you're doing all of the creative things, so I would love to follow up on that. What's the secret there? So I don't know if you could share maybe some of the tools that you are using to build those, some of the technique, because I'm pretty sure you need to learn it somehow, so those are also converting. So I would love to hear more on that.
So in terms of the creative side, it's very old-fashioned. We actually do photo shoots with real human beings on location mm-hmm. for stills and videos, and then, you know, we do the graphic design as well. In terms of design software, really it's our graphic designers using the usual tools, the Adobe tools, etc.
Those are the best.
Yeah. So those are the tools that we're using on the creative side. On the keyword research side, primarily Helium 10 is what we use when we're doing sales copy or we're doing keyword research, you know, for our A+ content and, mm-hmm. and listing images.
Okay, that sounds fair, actually. And you said that you do a lot of video shooting actually in person, right? So I assume your client base is mostly UK. You're from UK, right? So it's UK yeah. based.
No, well, this is the funny thing. I'm okay. in London, but most of our clients are US based, or okay. they're Europeans selling in the US market. So we have UK and European clients as well, but our business is quite US centric, and actually our photographer and videographer are in the US as well.
Okay, got it. That makes sense now.
Yeah.
Perfect. And actually, now, Fetus, I would love to ask you. I mean, you already started saying some things about this. So you said that first few clients came through word of mouth, but obviously, if you're scaling your business, you cannot always rely on this because at some point, there can be a stop. Like I don't want to say that it will be the end because there will be always someone. But at some point, if you actually want to scale and you want to scale faster, you need to also have like different client acquisition channels. So I would love to hear actually some of your strategies about that, because as I said, I mean, you definitely know it on your own that this market is quite competitive. There are a lot of agencies. Some of them, they are like 360 agencies. They do everything. Some of them, they are really focused on just a few things like yours, but still, I think there's a lot of competition, and I would love to hear some of your strategies there.
Yeah, so at the beginning, it was a lot of kind of word of mouth, and that is still a big factor. Networking and partnerships are a big source of clients. So, we partner with a lot of agencies who provide a complementary service. So, if, let's say, for example, they're a PPC agency, our services are a perfect fit because we do the conversion part, they do the traffic part. So a lot of our business comes from those sorts of partnerships. We also sort of go direct to the sellers. So with trade fairs, for example, the last few weeks there have been several trade fairs happening. Obviously there was the big toy fair in Nuremberg. We've also had toy fair in London. We've had Top Drawer, Spring Fair.
So
So
actually,
they
those trade shows are better because there are a lot of sellers and
yeah.
manufacturers, right? Rather than, for example, Amazon conferences. Because I realize that. Because I've been going to some of the Amazon conference last year, like this year, obviously we also go. Actually, in 2 3 weeks there will be a Prosper show. We go there,
Yeah,
but last
I'll
year,
be
yes,
there as
we
well.
went. Oh, you'll be
Yeah,
there.
I
That's
will
awesome.
be.
Then we can grab a coffee for sure. But
Definitely.
yeah, like last year I've been to all of those biggest ones. So like the Amazon Accelerate, Amazon Unboxed, I mean Prosper show, then a couple of them here in Europe, and I just realized that, I mean, for us, actually, this is perfect because we also work with service providers. But like, if there are service providers or agencies that mostly are focusing on acquiring new clients, like who are sellers, those are tricky ones. So this is actually a great tip that you are going to trade shows right away, where like toy fairs and others.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, a lot of those companies are already selling on Amazon, but their listings are not optimized in 95 out of 100 cases. And there are some people who are new, they're not selling on Amazon yet, and maybe they haven't even thought about it. So I was quite surprised. I approached a few companies and said, look, are you selling on Amazon? And they said, no, but actually it's really great that you've come to talk to us because it's something we're really interested in, but we have no idea how to do it. So I found definitely kind of going direct to the sellers and the brands at trade shows is definitely a good strategy for sure. So those two strategies are a lot of what we do. Exposure being on podcasts like this is always useful. I've been on quite a few where we're actually doing a presentation, so I'll present examples, I'll talk about how we do things, and I think when people can see that in action, it does build an element of trust. So
Definitely,
that's
yeah.
helpful. Yeah.
I think it's credibility is definitely the case. So I've noticed, I mean, you're based in the UK, but yes, you have some employees or contractors in US, so that definitely makes it easy to meet in person. But for
Yeah.
example, in our case where we are working full remote, I mean, we have the physical office, but like our developers are located in Europe, mostly Poland and Germany. And then we noticed that actually for new potential clients from US, this is kind of like still like the barrier that it's there, like the trust issues. They have the trust issues. They are not 100% sure if this will work out, if they want to build something with us, like a software. But like all of those, this online exposure, like podcasts, definitely this helps. Like they know that there's actually a human on the other side. So I actually also enjoy, I really enjoy doing those. Sometimes I'm actually inviting also our clients here to share what we've built together. So this is great. And I think it is very important, right? Yeah. I'm really curious actually if you're doing like something for SEO, like I don't know if you have a blog maybe and if it works.
Yeah, do you know, I'm so lazy. I'm really not good at making sure that we're doing all that stuff. But yes, I do write blog posts, but I still don't have one on our own website. I do write them for partners.
Okay. Yes. I mean, you don't have to do everything, I think. Because yes, that's also the thing that nowadays there's so many different ways of being out there and like client acquisition strategies for business owners. I mean, you can have a newsletter, you can do a cold outreach, you can and then for cold outreach, this is like also like you can do it on LinkedIn, you can do it on Instagram, you can email people, you can phone call them. So there's so many things, and I definitely I don't know personally a company that does all of that and does it well. So our strategy is actually that we just double down on things that worked. So initially we are trying out many different things. Like I remember days where we're sending like hundreds of emails per day and no one was answering us, and we at some point we realized, okay, this might not be it. We are much better, for example, in a content creation, and then actually people find the content, they find the relevant problems that we solve through those videos, for example, and then that's how we started working together. So definitely I think that if you know what works for you, that's perfect, and just double down on this.
So like you said, there are so many different avenues and you've just got to pick the one that works. I mean, personally, I get so many cold outreach emails every day, and I just delete them. I don't open any of them.
Yeah, the same for me. That's for sure. And actually, this will lead me to the next question that I have. And I'm not going to lie, I like to ask this question. I guess it is tricky, especially that there's a lot of competition, and it's the same for us. I mean, there's so many dev shops or like software houses out there, and it's very hard to compete. But still, we are in a market, you are in a market. So I would love to ask you this question. So how do you stand out from other agencies?
Well, the first thing is that you have to be 100% committed to quality. That is non-negotiable. So we will do everything we can to make sure that the client is happy. That is number one. We take a holistic approach. So we, first of all, we look at the brand. We try and understand the brand and what is behind it. So rather than straight away just jumping in and starting to just create photos or videos or any odd content, we do a lot of the thinking behind it. We do the research. So, you know, we put ourselves in the position of the seller, but we have the luxury of being one step removed. So we don't have that emotional connection to the product. We can be more objective. And, you know, we think of the overall branding and making sure that we're presenting a cohesive picture throughout the platform, and focus, really, really focus on showcasing the product, you know, showcasing the benefits, not just the features, because a lot of listings you'll see on Amazon are just focusing on features, but there's no addressing of the benefits and also the human element.
Actually, that's very nice. Sorry to interrupt, but that's actually really, really great approach, and I haven't thought it, right? So you say that you actually show them in a way how they benefit to the end user or like the client, rather than listing all of the features, like okay, this power bank has this amount of battery and so on and so on and so on, but rather actually show how it will make life easier, right?
Exactly. Like if you've got a power bank as an example, rather than saying it can supply this much power, just show it. Why don't you show it? Maybe you're having a party and you've got hundreds of lights and it's not going to blow. So that's what we will show.
It's
And
very
they,
creative
you
thinking,
know,
actually.
just say party on or whatever. Just you're not going to worry about it, just blowing or short circuiting or whatever. So it's that. It's about relatability, and we do that through lifestyle images and as much as possible, including a human being in the images, because we are human beings. We are people using the products. So especially expressions, people can relate to that. So if you're looking at a listing and you see a person and you can see the expression on their face, you can relate to it much more easily. So that's the philosophy. That's how we approach it.
That's good. Do you think, I don't know how much do you actually follow trends and AI tools, but there are some of the really great AI actually, I think those are like models or softwares. So you have like DALL-E, you have now I forgot all of them. But okay, you have different
There's a lot of
like
them. Yeah.
generation content generation models, specifically picture ones,
Yeah.
and I'm really curious, do you think, because obviously right now I think it's still too early, however there are some really like geeks in the community that can generate perfectly fine like human doing something, and I'm really curious, what do you think, will it be possible to actually substitute like the actual photography session just by generating those like pictures with the AI?
I don't know. I mean, technology is something you can't stop it. I think at some point it will get there. Personally, for us, we're not using it at the moment. We still feel like we get much, much better results using actual human beings at this point in time. But, you can never say never. It is moving very fast. And at some point, it probably will be of a high
True.
enough standard.
True. I'm also really curious how Amazon, for example, will react to it. Because right now you have a lot of AI detection softwares. And for example, if you're writing something with ChatGPT, there's a software called ZeroGPT, which can immediately tell you, okay, this was like AI written. And I'm sure that it's the same for pictures, for videos. And I'm actually really curious, what will be the Amazon approach once there will be more and more listings using the AI generated content?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, they're always changing policies. They're changing what you're allowed to do, what you can't do.
Oh yeah.
So, I mean, the truth is that it is moving very, very fast. I mean, 2 years ago, nobody was talking about ChatGPT, and now it's
Yeah.
everywhere. So, you have to try and keep up with technology, because if you don't, you'll just get left behind. That's the truth. But I think you have to be selective with how and where you apply it.
Oh yeah, that's for sure. And I'm actually curious because you mentioned that actually great example of this power bank, but I'm really curious about some of your real life examples, like some of the case studies. Could you share with us actually some of the case study where your agency dramatically transformed clients' online presence? And I would love to hear the actual case.
Yeah, we've had quite a few, which is nice. We had one client who was selling a product in the toy category, and they came to us just because they'd been let down by a company they were using for their images, etc., and the content they had was really, really poor. But they said, look, this is really, we've got to get something done really quickly. What can you do with this? So with graphics, we did something just so that we could create some listing images and A plus content for them very quickly. And then they were so happy with what we did because we already started the rebrand process. You know, we changed the graphics, the colors, everything. They had a new launch coming up, and you know, they had about 10 new variations. They said, okay, we want you to do the images, the videos, everything. And then they were so blown over. That was their best launch ever. And then straight after that, they had another 25 variations launching, and they were just like, please just do this. They didn't even ask how much. They just said, just do this. And I don't know how many emails I've got from that client saying, you know, I can't thank you enough because you've just completely transformed our business. And the thing that she said was that, you know, they felt like we were part of their team, which is what it's about, because we are an extension of our clients' teams. That's we're on their side. That's what it's
Sure.
about. Yeah. And you know, we also had a client who is in the outdoor category. They were selling 600 units. We did a complete revamp of a listing, all the images, videos, A plus premium, A plus content, and they went from 600 to 1100 units very, very
Okay,
quickly. So it
that's a
was a
so
huge jump.
And how long did it actually take? So, for example, like let's take this client, right? Like, so you completely change all of the images and all of the content. Like, so
Yeah.
how much does it take actually to do such a thing?
In terms of the timing,
Yes.
so from when we receive a product and you know the whole plan is approved, we can have if graphics and everything get approved pretty quickly, we don't have a lot of editing to do. We can go from zero to having everything uploaded within 5 to 6 weeks. It depends. Sometimes it can be quicker. You know, we had one project where everything we presented to the client, he said, yep, that's great. And they had it within 4 weeks. Everything was uploaded. So, yeah.
And when it comes to actually doing the photo shooting or videos, like you fly to client's location or you meet in a specific point. Like I'm really curious about this process.
Yeah, so I personally am not there. I run it on remote. We have an amazing team in the US. The product gets sent to the team, and
Okay,
we
this way,
shoot
yeah.
it there. So
That
it
makes sense.
depends. Yeah, it depends on the project. You know, if it's an indoor location, we'll hire a location. It could be a house, it could be like a school setting, or it could be a restaurant, or a beauty salon. We'll hire the location. Sometimes, you know, they'll be outdoors, like if it's a sports product. So yeah, it just all depends on the product.
Got it. Got it. Awesome. And actually, I have one more question to you. So obviously, you're running your business for some time right now, and all of us entrepreneurs did many mistakes in the journey. So I would love to hear what would you differently if you had to start Amazon agency from scratch right now with all of your experience that you have right now.
I think what I would have done is maybe got a job within the industry, so that you know you kind of build a bit more of a network before you launch yourself into it. Because when I started, I literally didn't know anybody. I just started going to some Amazon meetups in London, and then some started going to events in the US, but I literally didn't know anybody. So that was not the best way to start.
But why do you think that getting some kind of a job would help here, right? I mean, that was the same for us actually. We just
Yeah.
went and jumped directly to this community, going to conferences, getting more to know more and more people. And I don't think, but you mean like work at Amazon or what exactly?
No, so within the Amazon service provider network somewhere, you know, perhaps I guess, you know, I was too old for that, and I've always, since I was 22, always run my own business. But I think, you know, had I been in the industry, and worked within other organizations and kind of getting familiar with the space in general, I think would probably have been helpful, at least having a little bit of a network. But hey, you know, there's no single way of doing things. Somehow you just make it work.
That's true. That's true. And everything takes time as well, right? So that's for sure. And I know, like, even if you're a seller, like, you basically, yeah, I know so many sellers, 7, 8-figure sellers, that they just don't care. They've never been to any networking event ever. They don't even know any other sellers. So yeah, that's for sure very interesting. But yeah, definitely, as you said, knowing people in the industry can help get this extra light on your business. So that's for sure.
So it was just like the first things of getting your first project, because how do you show examples of your work if you haven't done anything yet, you know? So those first steps, you know, once it does gather momentum over time, but just kind of getting the wheels turning is the biggest battle.
Sure. Thank you, Fatos. That was actually amazing to have you here. And if you could tell maybe some few last words, where can people find you? How they can reach out?
Yes, of course. So maximaze.co is our website. So if anybody would like to get in touch, you know, we do listing audits for free. We don't charge for those. Just general chatting about Amazon, always happy to do that. So if you go to our website, there's a pop-up form that pops up. It's a contact form. You can just fill that in, and book a call. That's probably the easiest way of getting in touch. And also, I'm on LinkedIn, always available. Drop me a message on LinkedIn or Facebook. It's Fatosh Fatin. My name is on the screen. And I'm always happy to connect with more people.
Awesome. Perfect. Then thanks a lot for coming here to this episode today. And for everyone who is watching, thank you guys. I see you in the next one.
Thank you.
Bye bye.
Bye.